What's going on? Let me do some housekeeping real quick and fix something that is set up wrong. All right, I just had some stuff on the wrong page. Oh, geez. Hold on, people. So my name is Steve. If you're watching this for the first time, you're in for a treat. We're going to talk about some stuff that we don't normally talk about, and I just got to get some things aligned. If you're watching this on Facebook, please make sure you like and share it out to your groups, the groups that you're in. I have a lot of content that's pretty important, and I want to try to get as much of it out as I can. Jeez, can I talk today? All right. So my name is Steve Oatley. This show is called Freight Broker Live. It is the one and only talk show run by a guy that's an actual freight broker by the day. So that's kind of, you know, my shtick. That's where I am. As you see, we have a new sponsor this month, Trucker Tools. We'll go into their little intro in a minute. But first, here's my intro. My voice cracks. Today is March 3rd, 2020. It is 2:02. This is the first live video that I've made thus far in March. Yesterday, I didn't feel like making one. And is that a good excuse not to make one? No, but this is my show, so I can do what I want. And I just didn't feel like making one yesterday. I was pretty busy breaking news. Today, you guys saw, we had a bunch of news that we put out too. Some of it tragic, some of it just kind of mind-boggling. We'll talk about that today. We'll talk about some of the other stuff that I broke over the weekend. Also did very well in terms of clicks and people reading it and interacting with it. So we're going to address some of that stuff today as well. We're kind of just going to dive into everything and talk. So obviously I have to open up first with the hurricane. I hope you guys could see, or the hurricane, the tornado that hit Nashville at 1 o'clock this morning. I believe they got the notice at 12:36 and it touched down, and it passed through Nashville between 1 and 1:10. And it did some major, major damage. Let me try to make this image a little bit bigger so you guys can see it. And let's put it down here. So these images were found through on social media. There's a whole pile of them. I do have a story up on the website about the driver who drives for Western Express. Western Express has a major hub, a terminal in Nashville, and that terminal was completely demolished. The video that's listed in the article, and I actually put it up on YouTube as well because I was having a hard time getting it to work properly on the site through the Facebook. I don't know if it's just because so many people read it or were paying attention to it. So the video is up on YouTube, and this driver, he is extremely fortunate. And I'll run through some of these photos. A lot of these photos were all posted on social media. They were taken over the course of the night. I mean, this was a devastating, like this is the inside of the trucker's truck. He was sleeping in his bunk when the tornado, I don't know if it picked up his truck and just flew it around, but it ripped off. It ripped open the inside of the truck. And this guy gave his testimony of him holding on to the bunk itself, trying not to get sucked out of the truck. I mean, that is an experience that I'd never want to experience. And you gotta, I mean, the guy seems like he's very religious, and I would be too after something like that. That was pretty intense. All my pictures seem to be out of order for some reason. So here's some more pictures of this, the tornado. I mean, it ruined downtown Nashville. I believe the latest count is 22 people have passed away, hundreds hospitalized. Buildings, they're still doing search and recovery for some of these places. These are massive. This is huge. I mean, this town was demolished. And combined with Super Tuesday, and I believe Tennessee is voting today in the Democratic primary. Who really cares, right? But it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, there's so many different pictures online. There's even more. I mean, these are the pictures that I put in my article this morning, but there are so many pictures of the destruction and just the sheer power. I think they were saying this was like a third degree. I forgot what, I'm not a meteorologist, so I don't know what it, you know, but it was an E3. I think that's what they call it, which is still a pretty big hurricane or pretty big tornado. EF3. There you go. It was a big one, and it demolished, you know, Nashville. We're going to hear a lot more about it, I think. There's a lot more pictures. You guys can just Google it and look up Western Express and look at what happened to that facility. And I mean, there's in the video, he's describing a brand new building there that they use for recruiting and all this stuff. And he's like, the building's gone. The building's gone. And as you know, and I remember looking at the video and I'm like, that building doesn't look like it makes sense because there's a building way up on a grassy hill with no roads or anything going up to it. And the video goes on and he's walking around. He's showing all the trucks and the trailers beat up and all the buildings and the maintenance bays being destroyed. And then he scrolls up and he goes, oh, there's a new building. The building was literally picked up and flew in the air hundreds of yards and landed on top of this big giant hill. And this wasn't like a shed. This is a full on building. You know, I guess that it kind of gives a testament of construction because the building was intact. It was just literally picked up. It wasn't really intact, but it was literally picked up and then deposited on a hill, you know, several hundred yards away from where it originally sat, which was, I mean, the sheer power of tornadoes is amazing to me. And I am so glad I never have experienced one and I don't ever want to, because that is a frightening sight. I can't imagine what that driver was going through and what he felt like, and anyone else that was in Nashville, that driver specifically, because he was in a truck. I mean, there's reports of drivers that were just driving down I-40 when this thing crossed and getting plowed by them. We don't know if any drivers have passed away because of this tornado, but this was a big, big, big tornado, and it's very frightening, you know, to be honest. It's very frightening. Hold on one second. Forgot to do one thing. Got to let everyone on my website know that I'm live now too. But yeah, so that, I mean, that was a very big deal. And you know, just prayers for the guy that, I mean, you got to give, like, watch the video that's on YouTube. Go. His name was, I forgot what his name was. And I don't want to butcher it because he seems like such a nice guy. Let me look at my website real quick. He seemed like such a nice guy, and he was talking about everything that had happened. And it's watch his videos on his Facebook, his personal Facebook, unless he's blocked it. The article that I have on my website is called Driver's Video Shows Devastation at Nashville Truck Terminal. And his name is David Winder or Winder. His attitude after experiencing this was, I can't even put it to words. It was such a important thing. You know, here's my website and you can see it's right on the main page. If you go to the main page on freightbrokerlive.com and you click here, it's under the driver video shows devastation of Nashville truck. And I've got a link to his personal Facebook page in here. And then I also have the video. Cause like I said, I put the video on YouTube. I was having a hard time embedding it on the site. So I just threw it up on YouTube. With him with credit and fair use and all that stuff. But his video and his comments and how happy or not happy, but how thankful he was to have survived such a tragic experience is amazing to me. It's amazing. It's something, you know, worth talking about. You know, I did delete, someone made some, you know, spammy comments on one of the groups. Don't do that. Like if I have it posted, it's been shared, a couple of dozen times, you know, just be respectful. This guy and everybody else that's affected by this, you know, 22 people have passed away. It's a huge deal, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe in. And I know a lot of people make comments about rates and now with all this going on, they're able to dictate how much they get paid. I mean, come on, dude, like everybody be a little bit more ration, you know, I don't know, respectful, whatever the term may be. On Facebook, something, Kalis Pag said, I'm from there, and right now all the highway signs are messed up. Lots of power outages. Some say it stayed on the ground for an hour. Lots of buildings totally destroyed. Yeah, I mean, the videos and the there's so much content about it. It's crazy. My number will be up in a second once I get through this news portion, because we do have a lot to talk about, and I want to. This is a call-in show, so you'll be able to call in. I do see the chat, so if you do have a pending question you want me to answer out of place, then go ahead and type it in the chat, and I'll try to answer it. Otherwise, you're welcome to call in once we get going a little bit more. So yeah, the news was, I mean, this is the craziest picture. Let me blow this thing up so you guys can see this, because this is the bunk. This is his bunk in his truck. This is where he sleeps. And that's the top of his truck. That's insane. No matter how you look at it, that guy is extremely fortunate to be alive. Extremely fortunate to be alive. And it's a miracle, you know, and no matter which way you look at it, it's a definite miracle. And it's just crazy. It's crazy. I read the story and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. Our next story that I wrote about this morning was an email. So, I mean, this is a weird transition from a tornado and a natural disaster to what could be a disaster for some brokers. And I know a lot of people are like, well, brokers don't matter anyway. So this isn't for you. This is for the brokers that are out here. That I think Josh asked on YouTube, is there a whole picture of his truck? I think if you go on his profile, I was pretty busy this morning, but I think if you go on his profile, someone else grabbed screenshots of the actual video. He has so many different videos and so many, he's got a lot of content. But go to my website, freightbrokerlive.com. You can click on the article. You can find the link to his Facebook page. And then you can go, and he's got so much information. Someone else has photos. If the photo that I saw of the truck was his truck, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that he just walked away with a couple of cuts and scratches. You know, it's, and I'm not a big, like, spiritual person, but there's no other way to describe it. I mean, he was in the middle of a tornado. It ripped open the top of his truck, and he was able to survive with just cuts and scratches. And document it and help people. He's got drivers that are calling saying, hey, is my car okay? And he's going to verify all the cars and verify different things for different people. The guy is just such a nice person. If anyone watches this and knows that guy, I would love to interview him or just talk to him. And just, you know, that kind of reporting and that kind of experience and documenting it all is just something you don't see that much. But yeah, it's crazy. So Dat yesterday sent out an email to brokers, and I wrote an article on this too. This is on my website as well. It's under the freight technology section, I believe. Let me see. Yeah. So it's on, if you go to the main page, you'll see it right here. It's under the, if you go to freightbrokerlive.com and click on the main page and then go down to freight tech, you'll see Dat announces price increase for software and users are baffled. And the reason why I wrote they're baffled is because there was a price increase, except the problem with the price increase is that it was not universal. And because of social media and everyone sharing everything, that for some increased the price $14. You know, we heard one person said it was $14. Not a big deal, right? $14. It sucks that the load board costs a little bit more with rates being how they are and the economy being how it is. But you kind of got to do what you got to do, right? You just got to keep on trucking. Unfortunately, it wasn't that way. We've got another person whose rate whose price went up $128 for the same exact plan. So it's not like he had all these other features, same exact plan. Another one who had two users, the price went up $64. Another person with the same exact plan as the two users with two users went up $114. So I surveyed 20 different companies, all who said they received some. It was actually over 20, but all who said they received some sort of who received the email from Dat, and Dat says that they increased the amount because of all the smart features and everything they're doing with the Book It Now and the the analytic technology and the new rate mate and all the stuff that they're putting out, which is extremely awesome, and I'm not harping on them for that. The only thing I'm harping on them for is there's no, I mean, for one, you raise your rates substantially up to 33% of what your monthly is, and then you said, hey, it's effective next billing cycle. Why are we raising our rate? Because you say the stuff that you're developing that people are asking for costs, you know, more money. It sucks, you know, and the reason why it was a big article, and the article has done very well, is because there was no, it seems that it's kind of like, okay, we're going to type an email to broker A here, and let's increase him $28 per month. We're going to type in, and maybe there was some form and some sensibility to the actual rate increase, but I emailed that last night. I emailed them this morning looking for a comment, looking for some sort of clarification on it. And I was unable to get it. And I'm not going to hold off on a story, especially you guys know, if I don't think something's right, I'm going to report on it. And this is one of those things that, I mean, one, usually you get a notice and says, okay, you know, July, your rates are going to come up. It doesn't normally say next billing cycle. And normally it's like, okay, we're raising it 10% across the board for everyone. So you pay $300, you're going to now pay $330. You pay $100, you're going to pay $110. Or something like that, or just add $20 per user or something like that. But it didn't seem like there was any commonality between any of these emails. The emails were the same, but and this is the kicker. This is the kicker. The email, Roman, I'll answer your question in a second. It said, as a result of the significant investments in DAT, as a result of the significant investments DAT continues to make to deliver the best digital marketplace in the industry, you will see a price increase of, and then it would either say whatever, $24, $110, $120, $114, $29. I mean, we saw that for a one user account. Roman is saying his went up by $44. I don't know what else. You know, if you have one user and I think you only have one user as well. Maybe you have more. I don't know. But it's crazy because there's no uniformity between it. So then, and the issue with it is they know there's nothing that anyone can do. What are you going to do? You're going to end the relationship with that and just use Truckstop because you're limiting yourself. I know a lot of carriers were like, oh, is this going to affect us? As of right now, it's not, but imagine when it does. Your rates are going to go up, and then what's going to happen? It's, you know, everyone's commenting right now. Microlithic on YouTube said your account went up $14 to $139 per month. It's crazy. We heard one big company went up $22 per unit. Michael Schultz said his went up $49. So there, as you guys can see from the comments, there is no uniformity. They just said, okay, we're just going to increase the rates. Think about the additional revenue. The only thing that I think they could possibly be doing, and this could be speculation, I think it's the same reason Truckstop did the same thing. When they release their Book It Now functionality, they're going to have to include that because there's probably no way to separate that system from the actual load boards. That's pure speculation. I don't know, but that's because DAT never messaged me back when I sent them an email. So I really don't know what the case may be. I don't know if it's because... I don't know. I don't understand, you know, why increase it. I understand an increase in software, you know, because the emerging tech and with the risk of hacking and all that stuff, the amount that you have to pay to maintain a software is super expensive. But to have it increase that much without, you know, giving a firm understanding, and the email was written as a sales email. It just read like that way. Look at all the cool stuff we're doing, you know. And because all this cool stuff costs money, we're going to just charge you more. And again, they haven't released any pricing on the new rate mate that has a predictive rating tool and the freight rate analytics and all that stuff. They haven't released any of that information. So I'm curious to see if they increase the rate because they're going to be offering all that in, you know, as a package price. And if that's the case, then okay, you guys are getting a great deal. And I see no problem with that at all. It's just the way they handled it to me wasn't necessarily the best way to handle it because they weren't transparent. They just said, hey, this is your price increase. But I really don't think. I think just like, you know, almost everything, every other service offering that DAT has, the new features, the Book It Now feature, is going to be offered as a module, as an add-on module, that the additional features within RateMate with the predictive rating tool and the historical lane data and all that stuff, all that those analytics, analytical tools are all going to be an additional module that you add on. And if that's the case, and I don't understand why the rates have gone up, you know, I'm willing to listen to anyone that wants to give me an answer, if anyone knows an answer, because I, as you guys know, I'm a huge, huge proponent of DAT. I like the DAT load board. I've been using it for 15 years. I think it's the best load board out there that I've used to date. Because of its simplicity to use it. Is it great for flatbed all the time? No. Are they working on getting it better? Yes. Is all software subject to hacking or being violated or anything like that? Yeah, of course. It's tech. That's what's going to happen. You can't fault anyone for you. Just like I wrote with the TQL article that was when they were hacked. I don't fault TQL for being hacked. And the thing that you can fault people on are the response to when they have an issue. You know, and the expedience of getting that information out. And that's why I said in my letter or my email, my opinion piece that I wrote this weekend about TQL, that I think they handled, you know, the issue really, really well, you know, considering the fact that they had a major, major data breach. And there was so much speculation. You know, I heard on one radio show that, oh, it could be internal. I mean, these are professionals that are just being boneheads. It's mind blowing to me, but I sincerely hope with the DAT load board that they are able to fix whatever the issue is. You know, they messed up. That's my opinion. I'm their biggest fan. You know, probably. You know, and just to make it perfectly clear, I really, really like DAT. I've never had a problem with them. I've been an affiliate marketer with them for I don't know, a couple of years now. I was getting ready to close on a big advertising, well, not big, but an advertising deal with them. I really, really believe in the product, and I think it's a good product. But because of who I am and how I principle myself, I'm not going to. This was wrong. No way. No other way. You know, Trucker Tools is my sponsor, and I forgot to mention them, so I'll do that in just a second. But if Trucker Tools did something wrong, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it out there, because that's what I do. All my advertisers know I do it. This, in my case, was charging more wrong? No. But the fact is, you didn't even tell people what they're getting. And secondly, nobody was charged the same amount. Out of over 20 people, I had 4 people that all said they had the same amount, and they were all at $14. Everyone else had a different number. 28, 29, 16, 64, 114, 102, 128, $22 per user. It was all over the place, and it could be attributed to different service levels and the features that they're getting. And maybe someone who told me they only have 2 users on the DAT Power Select actually has DAT Power Office and doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. I don't know. I can only go off of the information they provided and use that and cite that in my articles, because the people who actually know what the additional charges were for didn't reach out or didn't reply to my email. And I know they got it because I sent it to 3 separate people. So it just would have been nice to answer that. Anyway, so my sponsor for this month of March is Trucker Tools. Now, most of you guys already know who Trucker Tools are. If you don't, you should. Trucker Tools is rapidly growing. They have all these different features. So basically, Trucker Tools is a mobile application that's available on Android and iOS devices, and it's loaded with driver-friendly features and top-of-the-line tools to increase drivers' comfort and experience. It offers over... I'm saying this like I'm an actual, like, announcer. Whatever. It features over 15 features, including truck stop guides, rest areas, routing and fuel optimizer, medical examiner locations, weigh station locations, and so much more. It's literally got, you know, 15 different apps on it, and you know that are useful. In addition to that, for brokers, it's got, you know, the smart capacity tool. It's got different load tracking capabilities. It's got so many cool features. The company is such a good company, and you know they're just a down to earth company. It seems like they really care about the trucker side of things, and they're building their app as a system that could potentially help start with the truckers and then branch out and then help brokers and everything while keeping the focus, the main focus done with Trucker Tools. So if you don't have that app, download it. You should have it. I've had it on my phone forever because I use it when I'm driving long distances. Like when I go to Matt's this year, because I'll be there, I'll be using it as well. So make sure you guys download Trucker Tools. It's a great app and they are my sponsor for the entire month of March. So, all right, I think we got one more story here that we're going to talk about. Whoop, press the wrong button. Oh, this one's a doozy. You guys ready for this? So Amazon, I wrote the article, I think, Saturday or Friday or something like that, and then I haven't talked about it since then. So Amazon released they sent an email out to, let me see if I can find the article, because it was something else. I don't even need the article because it took me so long to write the article I wrote because I couldn't believe what the hell they were trying to do. So Amazon sent an email out to people and two carriers that run Amazon's, relay, the power only drop and hook trailer moves that they have. So they sent an email out to carriers who, I guess it was select carriers that have made deliveries in California over the past year or whatever it was. So one of my sources, because I'm a real media guy. So one of my sources sent me over his email and I'm reading the email and I'm like, what the hell? I do have to find the email because this is you guys aren't going to believe this. So Amazon wants the carriers to turn over a certain amount of data. And it's not like regular transactional data and all that stuff that you would think. So the article's on my website. I'm only going to go over it real quick. So if you go to the feature tab or just type in Amazon in the search, if you go over here to search, you'll see it. But the article's called Amazon's Next Purge. Amazon tells fleets, send us your driver pay stubs, prompting carriers to question what's next. Now, the reason why I gave it that title, because we know about the Amazon purge that I named when they were laying off all their people. So this thing with Amazon is something else. So basically, they sent out emails to everybody and said, hey, you need to provide your driver payroll. So you need to provide pay stubs for if you have over 10 drivers, then you have to select 10 or 10%, whichever is greater. So if you had 100 drivers, you got to send 10 drivers. If you got 1,000 drivers, you got to send 10%, which is 100 drivers, of their payroll information, complete with driver pay and all the deductions that you take out of their checks. Then and this is part of an audit because Amazon blamed it on an AB5. And they said, although there's some really good things coming, within federal court and all that stuff, in case Amazon is watching, guys, there's a temporary, actually, I think it's permanent now. There is a preliminary injunction in place that blocks trucking from AB5 enforcement, which means that nobody should have to do this, but Amazon requires it per their contract. So they gave everyone and said, hey, you got to put together all your driver information. Send us all this pertinent personal driver information. Send us how much you're paying them, how much you're deducting off of every paycheck. Then Amazon's going to go through and pick whatever data they're getting, pick which drivers they want to audit. This is a mind-blowing thing. So then they're going to look in their system and say, oh, well, you ran this load over here this day, and you ran this load this day, and blah, blah, blah. And so you got to send in. So then they're going to select to audit that driver, and you're going to have to send in actual pay stubs and payment breakdowns for those drivers. Like, that is crazy. I've never heard of a corporate, like a customer in all my years doing this, I've never heard of a customer dictating that kind of stuff. Yeah, ever, But it's Amazon, they kind of have their own way of doing whatever the hell they want. And no one else is going to stop them because they are Amazon and they're, above the law, apparently. That's how they can lay off 8,000 people and it doesn't even get a blurb on major news. That's how they can send an email out like this. It's crazy. Roman Britschka on YouTube said, are there any carriers outside of California that got the email? No. Not that I know of. I've only heard of it from, the one or two people that confirmed it. Well, the one that sent it to me and the one other person was on YouTube that was saying it. But it's really interesting because what it looks like they're trying to do, this is a guess. I took down the allegedly button so I can't, this is what I perceive. This is my personal opinion on what I think they're doing. They're going to pull all the data in and they're going to have all that information on driver payroll. And then eventually they're going to say, okay, yep, time is now, just like they did with their legacy versus legacy 2.0 DSP provider crap, which caused 8,000 people to be laid off. what they're going to do is then they're going to back solicit those drivers. This is my opinion. I can't back it up with anything else, but this is what I would do if I was Amazon. It was in my contract to get all driver payroll. I'd say, all right, this guy makes $16 an hour over here. Probably hopefully he makes more being a commercial driver, but all right, let's say he makes $16 an hour. We'll pay him 18. Call him, make an offer. We have all of his information. We know exactly how much he's making. Or are they taking it and saying, okay, this driver makes $15 or, you know, $25 an hour driving a truck. Let's say, hey, listen, you can become a franchise owner with us. We'll pay you $20 an hour and we'll give you a truck for free that you can lease from us. And because that builds off of their whole Amazon franchise, I almost said scam, but you know, the whole franchise platform that they've been building off of, whatever the hell it is. You know, it's crazy. T. Hollins on YouTube said Amazon is pulling a FedEx ground. It seems like it. Amazon is. David Quackelbaum on Facebook said Amazon is going to take the drivers. That was my very first inclination. And I remember because when the source, my source, sent me this email, I you know, just like I always do, if someone sends me something, I don't have time to type. So I, you know, because I'm normally busy, especially after a video. If I just finished making a video, I do all the post edit stuff to get the podcast out there. Cause you know that we are the number one freight podcast in the world, according to me. So you guys should download it, freightbrokerlive.com. Or no, search Freight Broker Live podcast on iTunes and everything. And leave it some feedback. Tell me how awesome I am or the podcast is. Anyway. The whole thing with Amazon is crazy. It's crazy. If you can't tell, I am definitely feeling better from being sick all last week with the flu. Finally, I'm goofy as hell. Anyway, it's funny though, because I went to the gym and I killed my left leg. Like my knee is shot and I hope it's just like a muscle strain and not something more, but it is pretty weak right now and pretty painful. So anyway, Amazon is crazy, man. I don't know what their end game is. You know, whether they're trying to build out a program or just trying, or someone with no trucking experience actually thinks that, okay, we do need to do this and we need to audit all these drivers. I don't think that's actually what it is. But speaking of people with no trucking experience, I didn't get the screenshot, but did you guys see the email that someone sent one of the drivers saying, "Oh, you can safely do 1,100 miles in 12 hours." That is why we need some sort of credentialing system in place so people don't become brokers without any experience. I mean, could you do it? Maybe with a team, but could you guarantee you're going to do it? And I know what was going on. I think that post was in Rates and Lanes or something on social media, but it's just stupid. I'm not even getting into that. There's so much crappy people on social media recently, just reading what some people write or listening. Oh, here's the next story we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about the coronavirus. So, there was so much between Friday and Saturday. I heard so much BS about the system and predictive rating tools and this and that. This makes me sad to be in the industry. Anyway, so the coronavirus, 92,823 cases, 3,164 deaths. Up in the United States, I think we're up to 110 and still 6 deaths. New cases are being discovered all the time. I know, I'm not going to say who it is, but I know someone who knows someone that is on a 14. So I know someone that knows someone that's on a 14-day isolation. And the, you know, from according to this person, there is no way he came in contact with anyone because he's like a backwoods weirdo, not weirdo, but he's like a backwoods guy. You know, he lives out in the woods. He's not super social or anything. So how he got it, who knows, but he's under a mandatory 14-day quarantine in the hospital quarantine because of it. You know, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Someone wanted me to talk about politics and talk about Bernie Sanders. No, I didn't watch the video. I try not to watch anything that comes out of their mouth. Any of them, any politician in general, just they're all silly. Anyway. All right, let me open up the phone lines. You guys have anything you want to talk about, call in 914-803-4008, 914-803-4008. I'll try to do my best to get to it. Please be appropriate when you call in. I'd rather not have to edit the video because it's a pain in the ass and I don't edit it. I just take it down. So please call in and be appropriate. All right, Purr's Mall on Facebook said Amazon, no business ethics whatsoever. I don't see, here's the truth. From a business standpoint, I completely see what they're doing. I don't agree with it on a personal level, but from a business standpoint, it's kind of brilliant. Think about it. They're utilizing other people to gather all their data, and they're being funded. They're self-funding themselves through the Amazon workplace and Amazon, you know, servers and all that crap, whatever the hell that's called. I forgot. But they're basically paying for all, and that's why they could take a loss on their trucking side, and they're building it up, and they've figured out, oh, we could do the power only moves and source that capacity. It's the same thing. It's just like a year behind. You know, it's the same thing as what they did with their DSP providers. It's the same thing. You know, they're basically figuring, they took all the data from the DSP providers, because this is in December of 2018, they started requiring all their DSP, which are the final mile, the guys in the vans that are making the deliveries to your houses. Those guys all started making or having to use Amazon's preferred payroll providers. And Amazon had access to all that information anyway. But Amazon required all their DSP providers to use Amazon's payment, and they didn't pay for it. It wasn't like you get it for free. No, you may have gotten a discount or something, but you were required, if you were pulling an Amazon contract, to use their payroll provider. Why? Because they had access to all that data anyway. And that's what they did, is they strategically replaced markets. You know, so you know, let's just say Dallas. They took Dallas and said, okay, look at how much these guys are making for making the deliveries. You know, they're all making $15 an hour, because Amazon also told all the DSPs, no matter what, because we are in Washington, we pay all of our people $15 an hour. So do all of you now across the country. I don't disagree with that anyway. I think you need a livable wage. Is $15 a livable wage? Nope. But it's better than $10 an hour. Anyway, so they paid a minimum, their drivers $15 an hour. They had all the data that you need to actually figure out whether a lane is profitable or not. They knew what they were delivering. Here's the kicker too. All these DSPs that had the vehicles, all the vehicles themselves, the majority of them are leased directly from Amazon. So as soon as Amazon pulls the contract, they're also pulling these vehicles back. The companies don't own them. The only thing the companies owned were the clothing, and I don't know how much they paid for that, and the little, you know, cell phone, mobile, tablet things that they used, you know, that are like $300-$400 a whack. So they're out, but they didn't own the warehouse. They didn't own the trucks. They didn't, even the warehousing staff and some of the operational staff were Amazon direct hires and Amazon direct employees. Like me as a business owner, if Amazon came to me and said, hey, man, we want you to run your own business, but you got to pay them what we tell you. You got to run where we tell you. You got to use our tracking app. We'll rent you a truck, but you never own it. You like, I mean, come on. Red flags were probably going. I know what they did is they got all these people to come in and pull all this contract for good money while they sat and analyzed all the data. And they said, oh, shit, we can do it for a lot cheaper, so we're just going to take it. That's exactly what they're doing to trucks. That's exactly what. And I said it, you know, last year, as soon as I was setting up a carrier and I realized what the hell was going on, I said it, because I used to work as a consultant setting up carriers with Amazon or helping them just get business or do whatever. And it's crazy. You know, it's, I don't fault them from a business standpoint. It's freaking brilliant, to be honest, but it just, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot of these little independent owner operators that are out there pulling Amazon's freight. And then Amazon's going to pull those contracts. And these guys are all going to sit there and go, what the hell? Because they don't know how to use load boards. They don't know how to pick up loads and all this stuff. Because I don't think that they're included in all this capacity crunch and all this other BS that everyone always talks about. That's crazy. Hector Padilla said, I just find it ironic how lately Amazon is taking down vendors for price gouging on moral grounds. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is silly. I mean, Amazon is, I think about from a business standpoint, they're freaking brilliant. It's Jeff Bezos or whatever the hell his name is a brilliant, brilliant dude. But he's brilliant. And yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, Hector. Hector, you said, I just find it ironic how Amazon is taking down vendors for price gouging on moral grounds due to the virus. I don't know what that means. I'm missing something there, but you could try to go. Josh Marcus at Rockford Transfer said, every time I hear a cough, I think Corona. Yeah, me too. You know, you like the other day I was at the gym. Yesterday I was at the gym and I killed it yesterday. But I was using hand sanitizer in between every single freaking lift. Because I'm not, you know, I just got done being sick and I certainly don't want to catch a coronavirus from a bunch of people in the gym. Because, you know, the majority of them, I don't go to one of those, like, you know, lame ass gyms. I go to an actual, like, weightlifting gym, a power gym, you know, powerlifting gym. So it's, they're not washing their hands normally now after they touch equipment. And it's just, it's scary, man. You know, I think about it all the time. We've slowly started stockpiling stuff in our house because who knows? You know, shit's going to sell out. We have two cases here in Florida. As of, you know, this morning, there could be 500 cases by now with the speed and progression. You know, the news is like, oh, China has 124 new cases and it's the lowest that it's ever been. 124 new cases in a day. Like, that's incredible. It's insane. You know what else is insane? And this is going to, I don't even know if I want to show you. Look at this. That's live right now. Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 874 points. That's live right now. It started up this morning. It was up 750 points. And then whoever it is that does whatever they do, you know, the Feds cut the interest rate in half, you know, even though they said there's no reason to panic. We don't need to do it. We don't need to do it. I can't move this off my screen. Hold on. We don't need to, you know, reduce the interest rate. So they reduce the interest rate out of, you know, a precaution for the coronavirus. And of course, as soon as they do that, Dow tanks. After we have our strongest day ever yesterday with 1,200 points. I swear it's set, this whole thing is just set up. Look, it's even down more. Look at this. Look, it just shot down again. 928 points. It's insane. You know, it's just crazy. People hype it all up, you know. You know, Dat wrote an article last week on the 24th, and they wrote an article about how you know, the market was looking up and all this stuff. And granted, the 24th was before we had a huge coronavirus outbreak in the United States. Rates hadn't really, or the market wasn't really, I mean, it was down because that was the 24th, I think, was Monday. So it was down on Monday, but they hadn't seen what happened Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, where they're going, you know, super down. And then another media outlet writes a rebuttal to their blog post. And I read the blog post and I thought kind of the same thing as these guys. Like, that was called wishful thinking, you know. But then, you know, there's another media group or blog or whatever the hell you want to call them. They ended up writing a rebuttal to that. And we're just like shitting on it, basically. Excuse the language, whatever. This is a trucker show. They started crapping on that article saying, no, freight rates suck. The rates are going to suck. The world is ending, blah, blah, blah. Buy our tools. And it became both of these companies were competing against each other because they have competing markets or competing technology in the space. And the stupid thing is they both have, you know, what the hell's the right word? They both have platforms. They both have people that read them. You know what I mean? It's like the article, and I know that, you know, the doom and gloom. I mentioned doom and gloom, and so did everybody else on Saturday and Friday. They mentioned doom and gloom and saying, oh, we have a duty to report on the negative. We do. All media does. I consider myself a media outlet. I have a duty to report on the negative, but I'm going to pick and choose which ones I'm going to write about. A tornado that strikes and kills 22 people, yes. A trucking fleet with 14 trucks who closes with a horrible safety score and freight guard reports out the ass? No, I'm not going to report on that. Why? Because that's the type of carrier that we want to leave the industry. It doesn't matter if, you know, the cost, the reason for them leaving is because of higher insurance rates. No crap. Don't get 9 safety violations with 6 out of services and have, you know, 3 different freight guard reports for unethical and unethical behavior, unethical carrier behavior. And then, and that becomes, you know, and that's why I didn't write about it. It just pisses me off. But the latter article, because I don't mention who they are, the latter article was dead on. As much as I don't necessarily agree with the way they chose to get the stuff across, kind of like that, increasing their rates and all that. I agree with them having to raise their rates because technology is expensive. And the more technology becomes prevalent, guess what else becomes expensive? The people that build that technology cost more money to employ them because they get all big headed, you know, and they're like, oh, well, I'm a software technology guy. And I'm in high demand, so you have to pay me a lot of money. Otherwise, I'll just go work for your competition. So that's what they end up having to do. And ultimately, those costs trickle down to the people that are paying for it, which are us, the end users. But they wrote the article, and I get what they're trying to do. They were giving a rosy. You know, they're talking about daffodils blooming already in Washington State and all that stuff. And I get what they're trying to say. You know, that we have to have a more optimistic outlook, or more positive outlook on the industry, or optimistic, you know, look for the future, look at things that could happen and look at it so it's a little bit better. And then the other show, the guy gets on the show and he's like, you know, why would you have a positive outlook on the trucking industry? And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's what you're supposed to have. You work in the industry. You're supposed to have a positive outlook on the trucking industry, right? I mean, you guys all do. You guys are all watching me ramble on here because for the only sake of having a positive outlook on the industry, hopefully, you know, that's what I try to spin. If you're here just to hear me bitch and moan about stuff, then you're at the right show too. No, I don't know, you know, but it's just sad. The industry needs a lot more, what's the right word? A lot more people who care about it, I guess, you know, like that trucker, David, I forgot what his name is again. The trucker in the Nashville who made it through his truck being beat up by the tornado. We need more people like that are just happy. Knows he went through something, you know, something traumatic. Like me, like, you know, I would have went through that tornado. I would have sat down and I would have freaked the hell out. You know, maybe he did that before he started making all the videos, but he was out there helping people and doing all this other stuff, you know, after he was nearly ripped out of his tractor trailer during a massive tornado. But he has an optimistic outlook on life. He's like, we'll rebuild. We'll do all this stuff. You know, we'll do this. You know, we'll be back. Don't count us out. You know, we'll be back. He's saying all this stuff. Why? Because he believes in the industry. He believes that we will do well. You know, it's not, and I get it. Some people are, their sole goal is to just sell a technology or sell ad space or sell content or sell a software or sell load boards or something. So they give a spin on it that isn't necessarily right, you know, and it's just sad. You know, I said, I think rates are going to come back by the end of April or May. And I still believe that. I think rates are going to come back. I think rates are going to, we're going to finish out 2020 with it as a good year. You know, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but that's it. And I hope this coronavirus crap goes away, you know, by the end of this month, because I'm going to Matt's and I want to have fun. I think it's a cool show and I'm very excited to go to it. And I don't want to, you know, I want people when they recognize me to say, hey, and try to shake hands, or when I recognize them, because I'll be as starstruck as some of you, you know, and I want to be able to shake hands and just show an appreciation to drivers and to brokers and to carriers and software providers, you know, and it's crazy. Josh Marcus at Rockford Transfer. There are vendors that are charging $150 for a single mask, which is what Victor's talking about. Oh, okay. What Hector's talking about. Amazon is taking down vendors for price gouging on moral grounds. Well, no. I mean, they should be. Because, again, from a business standpoint, am I viewing anything Amazon is doing as incorrect or wrong from a business view? Absolutely not. You know why? Because all the data that they're requiring carriers to sign, they told the carriers before they signed the contracts that, hey, we have the right to access all this data if you sign this contract. They're enforcing that. It's like a freight broker sending a rate con to a carrier and saying, hey, we don't pay detention on this load. And then the carrier getting pissed off when they don't pay detention. It's on the contract. You can't get mad at them for it. You're the one who didn't argue it or didn't take the load. These guys all signed up for it. Is it wrong morally? Yeah, probably. I mean, why? And how are you going to get around it for your employees? Because while you may have gave permission for, your information to go, you certainly, I don't believe, I could be wrong, but I don't believe, for example, if I work for Joe Blow's Trucking and Joe Blow's Trucking just got an email from Amazon saying, hey, you need to provide all my personal information, I'm going to tell company, hey, you send my shit, I'm going to sue the crap out of you. Because that's me. It's my information. I can do whatever the hell I want. But, you know, if it's me as a company owner and I go and I just blindly send out all the information, especially with identity theft and phishing scams and all this stuff that goes on every day, I mean, it wouldn't be good. Roman Brichka said, the other media company also talked about the DAT article yesterday in one of their episodes, dissing the methodology of using post lane data to predict future rates. They use post lane data too. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about rating tools is you're limited in what kind of data you're able to get. You know what I mean? So you're either sourcing data that's historical, which is the way that everyone creates rates, or that's, to be honest, that's what you modify to get predictive rates. So for example, if I take all the rates that I've paid out in the past couple of years and I average them all out, and then I get some little fancy lane average, and then I say, oh, there's a hurricane, or oh man, there's a massive tornado that wiped out Nashville, so Nashville's freight is probably going to pay a lot today because you can't get in there to go get it. And if you have hot, like, medical equipment, let's say those masks that people are trying to sell on Amazon for $150. Let's say there's a manufacturer there that needs desperately to get his load of medical equipment to an Amazon distribution center in Georgia. You're going to have to pay more. Now, do historical models tell you that there's going to be a hurricane in 2 days or a tornado in 2 days? Absolutely not. Can you forecast based on how much projected snow outbound rates will be in a couple of days from a, you know, the Midwest or something like that? Yeah, you could, based on, you know, having a meteorologist and utilizing analytics and stuff like that and past history. That's the thing. You have to past history and lane data is crucial to any type of predictive rating at all. It's literally the fundamentals of it. That's why I never really understood the argument of, you know, well, you can't build predictive rating off past lane data. No, that's literally how you have to do it, because that provides a baseline. I mean, from someone that's working in 15 years, I know a lot of the and here's the problem. I mean, this is blunt. It's not with just them. It's with anybody. There's a lack of there's a lack of knowledge in the industry. You have some like brilliant. To be honest, I wrote a whole article about it Sunday, and then I decided not to publish it because I didn't want it to interfere with some of the legal stuff I am planning in the next, you know, day or two. Just said too much. Now I'm going to edit this. Anyway, here's the truth. I don't care who provides a predictive rating tool. No matter what, if it's an accurate tool, I think everybody should have it. I don't care who provides that. I don't care whether I like the company or whether I don't like the company. I don't care if they charge too much or they charge too little. I don't care where they get their data, as long as it's an accurate software. That is what I care about. All the bickering back and forth about which one's better. It's kind of, I mean, silly when you hold yourself as such a great entity and you're viewed as such a great entity by so many people. Don't belittle yourself with a blog post. Because ultimately it doesn't make any sense. It makes it entertaining, you know, because I shared that video with a lot of people and I shared the article with a lot of people. One, because I thought the article was written well. I'm not talking about the original article, you know, the DAT article. I'm talking about the other one. And you guys will have to do your own research because I don't mention who it is. It was a well-written article and it was very factual, but you know, it just had all these constant jabs and outside of the actual content of the article, it had a bunch of other BS in it, which kind of, for me personally, it took away from the actual meaning of it, which is, yeah, we're kind of in dire straits. We're seeing massive container shortages. We're seeing horrible outbound shipping rates and it's not because the factories aren't open. Yes, they're open. There's no truckers to actually haul the damn shit in China. So they can't get the freight to the ports. You know, there's been 40, I think as of, you know, Friday, there's 40 different container lines that have all canceled inbounds into the ports. There's going to be some big issues, you know, coming in. And that's why, you know, because normally it'd be picking up right about now because we're already in a slow period anyway, you know. So who knows if the coronavirus thing keeps instilling fear and then we have tornadoes and we have you know, crop with a stupid primary season and all this stuff that keeps happening. It's just going to further, you know, ruin everything. So that's, I mean, there's no other way to say, oh, look, here's something. The market went back. Now it's only negative 731. So who knows? My projection, and I don't follow the stock market at all anyway because I lost too much money, but here's my projection. We're going to end at 627, negative 627. So Chuck Ulrich asked on YouTube, do I think 2020 will be a throwaway year? No, I think the better half of 2020 will do well. That's what I think. I think rates are going to come up. We're going to have an inbound of capacity as all these containers, because we are delayed. It's something like 4 million containers were delayed. That should have, it's a million a month. So by the time this all clears up, we're going to have a backlog of containers that are coming in, a backlog of ships that are coming in. So a lot of capacity is going to be sourced out of the West Coast ports, which is going to make the rates on the East Coast come up. And the rates are going to keep coming up, and people are going to get involved in the industry and do everything that they do every time rates are up. That's my prediction. And the only thing I can base it off of, I'm not, you know, some analytical thinker. I'm not looking at the shipping volumes. I'm basing it off actual experience in life and being a broker and being a carrier. And I think it gives me a little bit more of an education in terms of what goes on. When that happens, I really don't have any idea. I would like to say the end of April. I used to say the middle of April, but now I'm kind of pushing towards the end of April. And it all is contingent on what happens in the next week with the coronavirus. If China keeps, I mean, now that they had 124, 184 new cases of the coronavirus, if it keeps going down and truckers in China are more apt to go out and pull freight and do all that stuff, because that's what it is now. They have products. The factories are open. But they don't have any trucks to haul the product from the factories to the ports. And so therefore the container lines can't ship because they can't ship with half a load. So it's interesting. It's very interesting to see what's going to happen in the long run. I'm not a big data analyst. I don't understand all that stuff. Though, if you want those kind of things, go check out Bloomberg, go check out Wall Street Journal, go check out all the other people that Friends, I swear, bro, you write stuff like that again, I'm kicking you out of my group. I'm going to permanently ban you from the page. All jokes aside, I'm serious. But anyway, it's who knows? I would like to think that rates are going to come up someday, you know, and that rates are going to come up. And I don't think it's wrong to say that. I know that there was another, what was it? Another person that said, you know, they have to be honest so people don't go out and buy trucks and do all this stuff. And while truck rates are high, and used truck rates are pretty low right now, you know, and it's not necessarily a bad time to get in the industry. But the problem with it is we have so many spokespeople in the industry that don't have any actual experience in the industry. So it's or in the actual trucking segment of the industry, you know, and it, so, you know, it's hard. It would if. I mean, I already said I'm looking at, but you know, either potentially getting involved in a trucking venture or buying a truck myself and just putting it on the road. Why would I do that when I said I'll never own another truck? Because I think that this year there's going to be money made in trucking again. Finally, after 2018, I rode that bubble too. In 2018, once the rates started coming up, and I realized it right around March in 2018, I ended up getting trucks. I took over a company that was going under because they didn't have the resources to keep going. So I took over that company, put drivers in it. We ran those trucks until about, I don't know, February, March of 2019. And then I exited those, you know, and backed out and was done with the trucks. Why? Because I made my money during the time it was off, or I was supposed to, but the other business partner kind of stole all the money, but whatever. But the trucking company made money. Drivers made money. Everyone made money. But Mike Timmy on Facebook said, second half will be like 2018. That's what I think. I think rates are going to come up. I think rates are going to be well. Again, it's different. You have to have some, you know, it's different. When you deal on a full truckload market, you can see things based on the trends that you actually work in and you live and breathe every single day. I don't fault people for, you know, trying to be a little bit more optimistic about it, to be completely honest, or a little bit more pessimistic about it, as long as they're doing it to themselves. When you become becoming a pessimist or you know, just saying, oh, well, I think we need to shoot for the bad and hope for the best. No, you shoot for the best and hope for the best. That's what you do. Friends. All right, buddy. It's the majority of the same viewers in here, so they all know that you're a regular. So here's a kicker. I don't talk politics in my show, but I also don't like Bernie Sanders at all. So I don't talk politics, but I kind of just let it. I got mad there, Fran, so I apologize. Ed Wilbur said, you're not the only one saying that. I heard it from a few big asset companies that think the last half of the year is going to be very big. It's going to be, bud. And the only thing I can base it off of is just my experience in the industry. 15 years of doing it, seeing the ups and downs, owning trucks, going, you know, losing my ass, making a crap ton of money. That's the only thing I could base it off of. If I sit and look at numbers, I'm going to go stupid because it's not going to make any sense. You can only predict so much. You know, nobody predicted that this tornado was going to hit today either. So you can't accurate, like I guarantee if you look at all the predictive rating tools that were out here yesterday, they didn't predict that rates coming out of Nashville today probably pay a shit ton because you can't get any trucks in there. I can almost guarantee that not a single predictive rating tool yesterday said what was going to happen today. So everything else is kind of all goofy. You know what I mean? It's just all goofy. Justin said, yeah, I'm not doing that. We're not talking about any of that stuff. Chuck Ulrich said, Wilbur's is the greatest keyboard player in the Cincinnati Tri-State area. Are you guys all friends, bro? You guys are all weird. I've talked to two of you guys, so I know. Garrett Wilson said, Ed Wilbur's loves me. Okay. Good story, bro. Hey, you guys want to see a commercial? There you go. I'm simply the best, better than all the rest, yeah, better than anyone, I'm the best.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
Oh, yeah. I love that commercial. And I love OTR Capital. They're also one of my advertisers and sponsors of the show and the brand and the movement. I don't know why I can't really hear this, but they're helping to keep me going, and which I really appreciate. So I play that commercial, and eventually I'll make some other commercials when I have more time and I'm not writing articles. Kevin Wright said election years have never been big like 2018. Cross fingers and I'm hoping I'm wrong. Well, I don't really. Oh, God, you guys are baiting me into talking about the election. I don't really consider this an election year at all. I mean, need I say more? We'll see what happens today, because today is kind of the today is kind of the end of it. You know, depending on who. Oh, God, we're not talking about politics. Whatever. Donald Turney said, what's up? What's up, Don? Anyone want to call in 914-803-4008? 914-803-4008. It's an active call-in line. You can talk about whatever you want as long as it's not politics or France. Can't talk about France either. Man, why are you guys all talking politics in this thing? What is this? Mike Timmy said, make a freight broker freestyle. Are you talking about the song? It's funny because I actually joked with my wife about that, about making a rap like video for my intro, and then she like begged me not to. One, because I don't really like rap music at all, and secondly, because I really cannot rap, and so it would be pretty bad. And apparently some of her students watch this show, and if you guys are watching, you should not be watching this show. But yeah, so that's pretty much it. I mean, it's been quite a week, and it's Tuesday, so who knows what it's gonna happen. My website today had a tremendous amount of traffic, which I really appreciate. I make a little tiny bit of money off of the ads that are on there, the Google ads. I make money on the okay deal, Mike. I'll do it. I have advertising partners. Every now and then someone slaps a donation on the page, and which I really like, and I really appreciate it. I did take down the store. A couple of you asked about the store. I took it down because it was coded wrong, and so it was screwing up the back end of the website. And again, I don't know anything about coding. I'm teaching myself how to do it as I do it, so sometimes it takes me a little bit. Like, for example, my weather page never worked until today. But, of course, nobody told me it didn't work till today, so whatever. It is what it is. Fran said, such a hostile chat making this poor streamer talk politics. They should learn from me. Talk only Fran. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like to talk about Fran. I don't like to talk about politics, although it is, it's clear with the state of trucking and all that, that we need some political influence, that more. We need more done. You know, there's a lot that's screwy about everything. And again, it has to do with, you know, FMCSA's leadership and who's in charge and what their actual goals are and values and all that crap. But it kind of falls into the political line of things. And most of you guys don't know, I was involved in politics in my civilian life, you know, my life away from these brands, the Freybrook Live and my work life and all that stuff. But I don't talk about it in the show. Mike, maybe. I'm whatever I feel, whatever the day is, because, you know, half the days I agree and the other half I don't. But because Mike said, let me guess, you're a Trump guy. So that's about as political as I'm getting. And I said, some days I am, some days I'm not. You know, it depends what he tweets. But that's as far as I'm going. You know, I want our country to do well. I want freight to do well. I want people to do well. And I want everybody to freaking get along. You know what I mean? I want people to stop being little, you know, tough guys on social media. I want people to not get threatened when someone else is doing something great. I want, you know, truck drivers to care about brokers and brokers to care about truck drivers. And I want people to make a bunch of money. And I want a bunch of stuff that, you know, it's probably a little bit out of reach, you know, but there's always hope. If Waymo can drive away with $2.25 billion in series, what was it, A or B funding? Who knows? There's a future for everybody. But that's it. You know, I don't know what else to say. I think the show's over, guys. We got a lot of stuff. I've got a couple more articles to try to write today. We've got some more stuff we'll talk about tomorrow. Make sure, if you haven't already, you download my podcast, please. If you're watching this on Facebook, when you end the video, share it out. Do whatever you got to do to help build my brand. Tell all your friends to subscribe and like and do all that stuff. Here's my goal, and this is my goal. I haven't told anyone my goal is I want to be the biggest and baddest honest freight media company out there. And there's not very many freight media companies, but specifically, you know, I'm not going to have a big podcast and all that stuff. What I want to do is provide a real look at trucking so everyone can prosper and everyone can get an education or the training programs I develop and all that stuff. So people can just really learn to respect the industry and get into the industry for the same reasons I did. One, because I made a crap ton of money doing it. And secondly, because I love it. I love the industry. No matter which, even when it's bad, I've left the job to go work other ones and I've always come back. Why? Because it's good. I can make a lot of money once you actually learn how to do it. And I want everybody else to work in the same, to feel the same way. And the only way to do that is through making videos and writing articles that are relevant. Now, am I a writer? No. If any of you guys want to write and contribute to the site and write, I'll give you a login. You can post your own articles and all that stuff. I don't care. I want to make it just an honest media outlet that provides as much information as we can, you know, and it's a full-time job for me. So I want it to be, you know, a full-time job for everybody. And I want it to be an industry that my kids can work in because it's something that I love. You know what I mean? It's something that I love. And so that's my long-term goal for Freight Broker Live is I want it to be just the biggest, baddest, most honest, transparent, you know, because you know what I'll never do is I'll never have an advertiser call me and say, you can't print that article. That puts us in a bad light. I'll never have someone that comes to me and says, or tells me I can't write something because it doesn't fit their sales goals or anything like that. Because unfortunately, that's what happens in media. It's not just, and so maybe I'll fail, but that's what I want it to be. I want to just keep enriching myself and my industry and do whatever I can to contribute to you guys enjoying the industry. And even if you watch me for an hour and you sit there and go, whoa, this guy's a freaking bonehead. Guess what? You watch me for an hour. So I guarantee you're going to learn and take something away from my conversation. You may be saying, oh, this guy said a bunch of stuff and it's hurtful and let's sue him and do all this. But guess what? You listened for a whole hour just listening to what I had to say. So I win. And that's what that means. Even if you didn't like it, you listen to it for a whole hour or hour and 9 minutes. So guess what? Now you could sit there and go, oh, crap, he got us. He wins. Anyway, make sure you download the podcast for aprilgoodlife.com. Starting on Monday, our new, you know, the 5 minute thing that I do, 5 minutes of freight, that's normally between 5 and 10 minutes long with the morning news, that'll be available for a podcast. Remember, you can tell Amazon to play the latest episode of Freight Broker Live. My Roku channel is coming back on Monday, and the whole back end training system should be available by June 1st. It's going to have a whole bunch of customized training systems, and a lot of it's going to be free. If any of you big brokers out there want to invest a bunch of money, I'll build you your own training system. Let's do all this stuff. Let's just make trucking great. I should get a red hat that says make trucking great again, because that's what it is. We are all boneheads together. Facebook keeps 100. That's what I love. Oh, Freight Broker keeps it 100. Yeah. Peace out. See you later. Best freight podcast ever. Number one on the charts, according to me. And that's all that matters. See you guys later.